On today's bonus episode of A Slice of Golf, we dive into Chris's charitable side. I ask whether we're buying any stock in Rory. Tiger is back and sporting a new set of wheels, and we play a little game of predictors. This episode is brought to you by me, Ben Fowlis.
Me, Tim Williams.
And myself, Chris Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome along to another episode, a bonus episode, because it's quite a big week this week. First of all, we're going to wrap up kind of the what's just gone on, because there's a few talking points from the weekend. That's just been Chris had a bit of a clanger, dropped a little clanger with the DraftKings. And again, we'll come on to that in a sec. But we'll start off with the ladies. They're the first major of the year. Boys, you know, we were talking the other week about Red Bull getting into golf, how good that would be because they're a cool brand. Their branding's pretty awesome. They do a lot of other things. Basically, we were talking about that because golf's full of kind of shit, boring sponsors. A prime example this weekend, ladies, first major, it's a Chevron Championship. I know they've got a lot of cash, not the most inspiring, but Jennifer Kupcho was able to shoot a 2-over final round and still take the win. That shows how big a lead she had going into the final round. Not many golf tournaments do you hear of anyone able to shoot 2-over and still win by 2. Did either of you two watch any of it?
I watched. I'm going to level with you. I was concentrating on my own meltdown over this weekend, which if you haven't listened to, just go back an episode and you can wallow in my misery. But I did see that Jessica Corder came second, which is obviously not a surprise to see one of the Corder sisters challenging for the title as well.
No Nelly Corder. Have you seen that?
Was she not even in the field?
No, she's getting treatment due to a blood clot in her arm. She was training. She had to go get treatment, was doing a photo shoot. She felt swelling in her arm, went to see it. So she had to have an operation. So hopefully she'll be back. But again, with Jess up the top there, been interested to see what Nelly would have been able to do in the tournament, because obviously she is a supreme golfer. The one kind of surprise for me, I didn't watch any of it because, quite frankly, me and Johnny got in from our major on the weekend, kind of had our Nandos, went straight to bed because we were both exhausted and we had enough of each other's faces, I think. Surprised to see Jin-Yun Ko, green in reg machine, who's been on outstanding form. Finished 14 off the pace, which is quite a long way for a player of her ability. On a PGA Tour, Valero Texas Open. Again, I don't think any of us watched a whole lot of it just because being pretty shattered. And I think you two would have been in trouble with fiance and wife if you'd have gone away for a golf weekend with the boys to then come back and watch the PGA Tour.
Yeah, that would be a fair assumption.
Couple of talking points. Rasmus Højgaard, my boy. Kind of starting to make ground in the States. I had an excellent couple of rounds, a couple of fairly average rounds, but tied 18th, which not too bad. Promising, all right. Start getting up there, particularly in time for Ryder Cup to come. One talking point that I want to speak to you two about: Rory missing the cut. Do we read into that anything at all as we head into Masters Week, or are we just letting that one go?
He's tried to downplay it the last couple of days, hasn't he? Saying sort of how it's been a roundabout good thing for him because he's been able to get to Augusta and practice a little bit more. Do we read anything into it? I don't know. Rory's such an enigma because his form isn't bad at the moment, but equally at the same time, you wouldn't say he's really on it. Yep. Like he's not exactly trailblazing this year. I think what he's down to 9th in the world rankings at the moment. We'll obviously come on to talk about this in more detail. I'm not putting him amongst my recommendation for this weekend is what I'm going to say on it.
In true Rory fashion, he'll go out, he'll hit +2 on day one.
Yep.
And then start playing golf and we'll
just about make the cut.
I can't remember what his stats are off the top of my head, but it is something stupid. Like,
yeah, I went looking for it today and I couldn't find them on Google or on Twitter. And I thought,
but it's something like in the first rounds, he's +30 and then all the other three rounds combined, he's like 30 under or something. Like, it's just nuts.
Yeah. I mean, I've written him off. I have to admit, because he's likely to put himself way behind after round one. I've been thinking about this for a while and I struggle to, accept it, I guess. But I kind of got to the stage where I'm like, I don't even think Rory has a chance for any of them anymore. I don't ever look through the list and look through the betting and be like, yeah, Rory. I would put probably 10, 15 guys ahead of him if I were to make picks. How do you two see Rory's chances in any majors now?
I think he will one day complete the Grand Slam. I think he's too good not to. I don't think it'll be this year. I don't necessarily think it'll be next year. It might be one of those that... The problem is, since the age of, and I can't actually remember how old he was when he got to having got three of them, but I think it's getting on for like, what, 7 or 8 years now? There's been the chat around him at Augusta. And in a weird roundabout way, you almost feel like he needs to get to the point where he kind of makes peace with it, the pressure or the expectation level, before he actually gives himself a shot at it. Which sometimes can come potentially when you're slightly older player. I don't think you can write Rory off from winning more majors. I mean, I think in terms of natural talent on the tour, for me, with the exception of Morikawa, would be the only caveat I would say, I still think he's probably the most naturally talented player on the tour. But it's just not there at the moment. And I think there needs to be something fundamental in his game or his setup, whether it be, I'm not going into caddy, we've talked about that enough, but whether it is something like a caddy change, it's going to be something like that, in my opinion.
Well, I had an interesting take on it the other day, and I'd never really thought about this before, because obviously we were brought up in Tiger era. So Tiger is like our golden child. He's on that pedestal of being like, he's the guy that everyone looks to and is like, wow. I don't know whether you guys have heard of him. Preston Summerhayes, his dad is Tony Finau's coach. He is a stud who's playing at Arizona State at the moment. He's 19. He was on Golf Subpar's podcast recently, and they asked him about, you know, who's the golden child. He's too young to really remember Tiger, you know, in his pomp. You know, he's 19. Think about it. He missed the 97, 91, early 2000s. Missed all of them. Wasn't even born yet. And he was saying Rory's the guy. For his generation, Rory's is kind of like the golden child, which I just kind of turn around and was like, well, actually, maybe that's why Rory's not been winning, because he can't quite handle the pressure that Tiger could. Because I'm assuming when Rory racked up all those wins, he was not seen as like the golden child, and those wins kind of catapulted him into near Tiger's orbit, should we say. For that generation, which I thought was quite an interesting take on his part. And I wondered if that plays into it, because he feels the pressure from the generation below ours.
I don't know that I've ever heard. I think you are the first person I've heard that side of the story from. I don't know. I think Rory probably feels quite a lot of pressure from a lot of different angles. I don't know that that's the thing that's the one thing that's... Mm. causing any particular issue. Again, I don't know Rory, and I can't speak for him. so I don't know. Yeah.
Right, just quickly wrapping up before we do dive properly into the Masters chat, even though we kind of already have a review of the DraftKings. I did tease that Chris had an absolute stinker, because thank you for your money, pal. Chris decided to enter the tournament, but didn't actually enter a team, which is quite funny considering you.
I set it up every week. I set it up every week. Put my $2 in. Set the team up. Just last week, I was so manic with work. I did a classic Tim from the week before, wasn't it? So manic with work. Got to Thursday morning, and someone messaged me just being like, "Oh, I don't. You know, you haven't entered the free league," and I was like, fuck the free league. I haven't entered the $2 one. It's like, oh no. I did that moment of, I jumped on the DraftKings and was like, am I too late? I was like, yeah, you are half an hour too late. Oh, and, just an utter shit show.
The rest of the league thanks you for it, particularly me, because Tim came sixth, which is fairly respectable, just outside the money. But I took the big fat first, so...
Did you? Yeah. Oh, congrats.
No, I took your change, and I'm running with it. And that's going
Thank you. Well done.
My master's team for this week. Big one this week with the Masters coming. It's easy to pick a star-studded lineup, which leads you into a massive false sense of security, because any of the other tournaments, you're like, wow, yeah, I managed to get three studs in there and I've got three other guys. And you're like, well, not really too sure. Get to the majors, you're like, wow, I've got six studs. I'm going to win it all. So it'll be interesting to see how we come out on that one. Fantasy.
Have you two entered, by the way, because it's full?
Yeah, entered the league. Haven't had a peruse on the team yet. So current totals... Chris was given absolute birdies a few weeks ago. Well, need to say, after not submitting a team and losing last week, he's on 22 points, still leading. Tim's on 18, and I'm hot on the heels of Tim with 16. So
I'm just using a Danielle Ken kind of thing here. I'm just missing on purpose. Some pressure on
missing on purpose to make it interesting. Interesting tactic. Okay, boys, it is a mahoosive week. I've actually got it in my diary, and I've told people I'm not doing anything. I'm not seeing you because I'm sitting on my sofa and I'm watching golf in my pants for the next 4 days. The Masters.
What a vision.
what a great time to be alive. Right, I'm going to address the elephant in the room because it's a bloody big elephant, or it's not an elephant, it's a tiger, actually. Absolute tease with the plane story last week, and that has gone into absolute thermonuclear this week with the fact that he's on the grounds, he's been practicing, played a couple of practice rounds, he's been out chipping, and only a few hours before recording the podcast, he's come out and basically said, yeah, I'm pretty much on course to play, actually. And I've seen him on the driving range, and he is absolutely nuking it. I really hope his body holds up. I really, really do.
And I know. So I assume he's the first name going into your DraftKings team for the week.
Yeah.
I am very tempted. But have you seen where he is? I mean,
no.
They're very much going on history and not recent history, because he's quite high up on the leaderboard.
Is he really?
Okay. It's Tiger. The guy hasn't hit a golf ball in a competition for well over a year. And that's quite a punchy pick for the money that you've got to pay for him. Right. It's a risky one. I will be sticking a fiver each way on him to win the overall thing, which will make it
of course
even better when he does come in, and obviously because he is going to win it. Right. Something that was picked up yesterday all over social media has been picked up today. It was spoken about by the TV broadcasters, mostly because they couldn't get Tiger off the screen. New shoes.
I was hoping you'd talk about this.
Really odd. A guy who's played in Nikes forever. It's been sponsored by Nike from the moment he picked up a club as a professional. But before he was even a pro, he was signed. All he's ever worn is Nike shoes. That's terrible PR for Nike, isn't it? Because doesn't that just say they're not that comfortable?
Or does it just say he's old?
Or does it say that his surgeons, doctors, physios have put insoles or something that just so happened to be into a pair of FootJoys, and Nike have sort of given him a bit of a green light to say, all right, we get it. This is for recovery. Because I believe, because I did some reading on this today, so I think Nike released a statement that was sort of cryptic, but not really cryptic, in sort of saying, like, we wish Tiger all the best for the week. Like, we've supported him throughout his career, and we'll continue to do so in all ways. So I think it's, my gut feel is it's more likely to be a bit of a surgeon's or insoles situation rather than him not selecting the Nikes.
The thing is with that, the bit that I just find a little odd is that it is Tiger Woods, and Nike have for years been customising the football boots for the top players, moulding them to their feet. You would think Nike would do just that, whatever the surgeons asked for, one of the biggest companies in the world. It's a surprise he switched to the FootJoys, because I would just have just assumed that Nike basically say, let's take a plastic, like a mold of your foot, and we're going to make the shoe perfect for you. I'm really baffled by it.
So within the last hour, there has been a press release. Just Google this as we're talking.
Nice.
I won't read the full blurb from the beginning of it, but talking about why he's making the switch. It's to do with his reduced mobility. He said, I have very limited mobility now, just with the rods and plates and screws that are in my leg. I needed something different, something that allowed me to be more stable. And that's what I've gone to.
Cool.
That's it.
And thank you very much, FootJoy. Sales go up in their shoes by $2 million tomorrow alone. Like, they must be loving that. I wonder if they've got any sort of endorsement deal with him.
Yeah, they definitely will.
Yeah.
They must do. Nike, equally, Nike are probably paying less, you'd assume.
I think it's temporary. It's a temporary...
Maybe.
It's a temporary physiotherapy thing. I think it's a mobility thing. There is no way... I mean, we had a little conversation over the weekend just gone about the legacies of athletes like a Michael Jordan or a Tiger Woods and who's had sort of some of the bigger impacts on the world of sport.
Can I say, the annual conversation that we have at all of our majors.
We're not going down that route.
Have that conversation after a few beers, because that conversation doesn't finish. It just doesn't.
It gets spicy.
Yeah.
There is no way that Nike would just give up a marketing asset like Tiger Woods.
Create a shoe that fit.
Now, admittedly, you look at someone like Roger Federer, and yes, Uniqlo bought out his Nike contract. I think this is different. It's Tiger Woods. I could be wrong. I think this will be a temporary thing whilst he continues to rehab. The other thing as well, from FootJoy's point of view, let's bear in mind in all of this, he wears literally jet black shoes with zero real branding on it. I mean, to the casual observer, they will still think he's completely decked out in Nike because his, you know, cap, equip, apparel will all be TW, Nike swoosh. So if I was FootJoy, I'd be thinking, I need more than just a pair of black shoes which don't really have a lot of FootJoy branding.
In other words, people are going to be on the Nike website and walking into Nike store.
Correct.
Where are the Nike shoes that Tiger was wearing this weekend?
Correct. Yeah. If Nike were really smart about this,
just draw a tick on it.
What they would do would be design a new range of matte black shoes and see those sales go.
I'm going to level with you, Tim. I think that's one of those ideas that will probably come to fruition. I'm sure someone at Nike has already thought about this. Someone gets paid the big bucks to think about that.
I mean, I'll put it to you this way: when you shop on the Nike website,
I don't know what you mean. When you
shop by sport, you can actually filter by athlete. There's only two options that come up in goal. No, well, there's three options, which is Rory McIlroy, Michelle Wee, Tiger Woods.
Mm. I am so surprised that Nike, arguably the biggest company in the world, haven't gone to him and said, what do you need on your feet? Let's make you something custom that will be...
Well, maybe they just can't create it that quickly.
Yeah, but they've known for over a year, surely. He would have been saying to Nike, like, look, I'm intending to play the Masters. Let's do something. I don't know.
That's a lot of time that he's going to have to dedicate to working with them.
Yeah.
It's all just on Nike side.
So then just to buy an off-the-shelf pair of FootJoys, which is amazing.
Yeah, what they need to do is just turn the Nike Air Zoom Victory Tour 2s into just a matte black version.
Mm.
Yeah. I see what you mean, Tim.
Right, big part of kind of the opening and the tradition of the Masters is the Champions Dinner, which, if you have not seen the menu and you are a big fan of Japanese cuisine, my word, it is my idea of heaven. Japanese food is my favorite type of grub, and it's literally the perfect meal for me. I'll read it out. So, a starter, you got assorted sushi, lots of S's in that, and yakitori chicken skewers. Sounds delicious. If anyone's ever had a blackened cod, do so. Well, you will know it's excellent. If you haven't, do so. It's amazing. And he's having Wagyu steak and then just a strawberry sponge dessert. I mean, starter through main sounds like just the most unbelievable dinner. I'm fairly sure. I think I saw Dustin Johnson kind of laughing at it, almost as if that's not really his thing earlier on. I might be mistaken on that. So... yeah, props to Matsuyama. That sounds delicious. I did have written down
no comment on Americans' thoughts of cultures outside of their own.
Right, back onto the golf. Jordan Spieth, saw him talking about him. He's doing some all kinds of funky things on the range, all kind of funky things in his practice swing. Are you buying any stock in Jordan Spieth for this week, or are we staying well away from him? Timothy?
I'm staying away from him this week. Again, I'm disappointingly, because I think last year there was obviously a bit of a renaissance. I think this year so far, I think his form has not been incredible. I think it's fair to say. That's not to say he's playing badly. I just think there are too many other guys coming in with four with just red hot form, or and have sort of. I just think can do a job on that course. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, that's Augusta, so no one conquers really Augusta, but I just think his game's not quite there at the moment for me.
Christopher?
I'm with Tim on this. He won't be going into my fantasy league team. I think he's the kind of player that it wouldn't surprise me if he did turn up and play really well. Like, it just wouldn't surprise me. I'm just not going to put any money on it.
I know it's, pros are completely different animals to us, but whenever I'm watching the pro game, he's clearly got a lot going on in his practice swing, in his pre-shot routine. Whenever I watch someone who's doing a hell of a lot in their pre-shot routine, trying to trigger certain movements, I'm a little bit concerned. So I'm not taking any stock in Spieth this week, that's for sure. Someone who's kind of massively going under the radar, Scotty Scheffler. I think you could bet on him last week. He was like eighth favourite.
He's not really under the radar.
As world number one, people aren't talking him up to be the winner. You got the world number one going off as eighth favorite. That doesn't. It just that is under the radar for me, because it belies his status. So really, he should be going off. He is the hot property in golf at the moment. Three wins in five starts. Should really be going off as near the favorite. Where do we think he's got a realistic chance or not? Too young.
Yeah, I mean, DraftKings have him as the most expensive player.
I think it's justified. You can't miss it.
Yeah. No, I agree. And if I could afford to put an $11,000 player in my team, well, maybe I can. Who knows? Part of me genuinely thinks he's going to do it.
Really?
Like, he is just playing so good, and he's just not missing. Like his number of wins. How many is he up to now? Is that number four this season?
Three.
Three this season. I couldn't rule him out. I think he's playing some excellent golf. I think, yes, there'll be there people with more experience over Augusta. But you can't rule Scheffler out at this point, can you? I really don't think you can.
No, I think you are right. I think he's got all of the game. I think people would be like, look, you've got to chip the ball well and you've got to putt really well because of all the slopes. You've got to miss on the right side. You've got to be on the right side of the green. Scheffler can do all of that. And then he can hit the 300-yard bomb off the tee, and then he can strike a long iron to pretty close. So I think I can't see why he wouldn't do it. Do I think he's going to? No. I do actually think he's going elsewhere, but we'll come on to that.
Wait. Okay, fine. Okay.
Anything more to add before we start going through what we predicted pre-season, where we sit now, and then a little game for us, which we're going to...
Let's dive straight in.
Let's get into it.
Right, so our pre-season predictions, we said, both Tim and I bought stock in Colin Morikawa. Both of us said Colin, and Chris said John Rahm. Chaps, just straight off the bat, going on the preseason predictions, do we want to change those predictions?
Yep.
I am. I think Cam Smith's going to win it. I've got Cam Smith. I've got five bets on so far, none of which I've got Morikawa to win, actually.
I don't disagree with you. I have Cam Smith down to win.
Okay.
I don't think Rahm... Oh, am I going to change from Rahm? Yeah, I think I am. I would love to see Rahm win it. I don't know why. I don't think this is his year. I don't even know how he's been playing. I haven't even looked at his form. I'm making assumptions here.
Bear in mind, he had an absolute worldie 2021. It's a pretty good sign of how his 2022 has gone that Scottie Scheffler has managed to surpass him. He's not had a great 2022 so far. I think it is only a matter of time before he heats up. But you want to be you want to be buying stock in the top dogs at the moment.
Hang on. You say he hasn't had a great 2022. So his events in 2022, first event of the year, second. Next event, 14th. Third, 10th. 21st, 17th. And then 55th at the Players. It's not a bad start to the year.
And there's a big asterisk next to the Players where there was a hurricane blowing in as well.
Yeah.
Right, that is fair. I think it's just... I've just got like rose tinted glass.
He hasn't got a win, sure. He hasn't won three events like Scotty this year, but yeah. I wouldn't say he's playing badly.
No, that's fair. And to be fair, I don't think it would surprise anyone if he did turn up. Tim, who are you predicting?
I mean, Cam Smith will absolutely be up there or thereabouts. I think what he showed at the Players was. He's not going to shrink away when the pressure's on. He can do it under the pressure. I mean, his T-shirt on the 17th that the Players, given where the tournament was, just demonstrates an ability to absolutely back yourself. That said, Patrick Cantlay is probably it's ridiculous. You can't call him a sleeper pick. He's like ranked fourth in the world. But no one seems to be talking about him.
No, that's true.
And yet, you know, if you look at his history, he's, I think he shot a 64 at Augusta before. I think he finished tied for ninth a couple of years back. And that was only because I think he went bogey par bogey with his last three holes on that occasion. I think he's had a couple of top 10 finishes. I think he's been top 20 once.
Tell you that, Tim. In the last, so he's had six events this year. One, two, three, four top 10 finishes.
Yeah. So I don't think he's going to be daunted by it. I think he's got the confidence coming into it. If you look at his performance, sort of, you know, big events, you know, I appreciate he hasn't won a major, but won the FedEx last year. Not a lot of the spotlight's on him.
I agree with that. I find odd. And that's my concern with Cam Smith, is a lot of people are saying.
That's almost why I'm not going to say he's my out and out pick. Although he is in my DraftKings for this weekend, I will say. So yeah, Patrick Cantlay is my tip.
Nice. So none of us agree with what we went for preseason predictions.
No, I'm surprised by it because I backed Morikawa to kind of really rip into 2022 and kind of set it alight. I thought this was going to be his year. Again, just not quite happening for him at the moment. I mean, it says a lot that it's not happening for him and he's still, what, third in the world or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
So it's going to happen. It's just not quite, his game's not quite exactly where it can be right now.
Interesting. Right. Here's a little game for us. I saw this on Twitter earlier on. I sent it into the group. Chris hammered me for it because it sounded very much like DraftKings. So I tweaked it a bit, sent it over to the boys not too long before the podcast, completely threw Tim off his horse because he'd done a whole bunch of research earlier on. So we tweaked the rules not too far before we started recording. So we're going to play a little prediction game. All right, so the winner of this prediction game is the lowest score in relation to par of the combined four players. So we're going to pick four players out of the field. And if all four of your players make the cut, then you're in a much better standing. If any of the players miss the cut, then and one person makes all four players makes the cut, then the person with the made cuts wins. So we're allowed to pick one player from the top 20 in the world. One player has to be picked from between 20 and 50. One player picked from 50 plus, which there's not many. And then one of the amateurs. So I believe, I think I said there's six amateurs playing. So there's obviously we've got absolutely no idea with these amateurs, but a bit of a curveball. So I kind of feel like that will be whoever makes the cut is going to help us out. Christopher Wright, who did you go for? Your one player inside the top 20.
I mean, we've been speaking about him already, Cam Smith.
Cool. I'll second that. I also went for Cameron Smith. Timbo, I'm assuming Patrick Cantlay.
Cantlay.
Okay, right. One pick from 20 to 50. Christopher Wright, who did you go for?
Matty Fitzpatrick.
Right. I will second that. So our team is going to be very, very similar. I'm buying stock in Matty Fitzpatrick this week. I'm betting on him. He is likely to be in the drafting team, not going to lie. Love where his game is at, and he's got the short game wizardry to be pretty good around Augusta. Yep. And he's got the caddy as well. Timothy.
Billy Horschel is my pick.
I like
in the top. If you look, I mean, his form is good. You look at his finishes this year, he was tied second at the Arnold Palmer. He was sixth at the Phoenix Open. He was ninth at the match play recently. If you look at his strokes gain scores, they're very, very good, particularly in around the green and total sort of shots gained. He's performed well there in the past. He's also had some shockers there. I'm fully aware he did not have a great time last couple of times. But again, kind of following with where I went with Cantlay, I think Horschel's on the move, I think, at the moment.
Can I just throw in some stats for Matt Fitzpatrick here? This season, 1, 2, 3, 4. So he's played 5 events this year on the PGA Tour. He has 1, 2, 3, 4 top tens, and the Players is the only one where he missed the cut. But I think he got caught on the wrong side of that monsoon or whatever it is that flew in. He is playing some good golf. He is straight into my DraftKings team.
Same. Particularly after hearing that. Okay, Christopher, your player from 50 or outside of the world rankings.
Obviously a little bit limited here, but I've gone with Brian Harman.
Brian Harman. Big fan of Brian Harman. Drops multiple audible F's.
Hasn't done particularly well at Augusta in the past, but I feel like he's normally there or thereabouts in competitions. So I feel like for him to... Yeah, I feel like he'll do all right.
He is great value with the hot mics. I love it. Yeah. They catch him and loosen his rack. Fully got short man syndrome and I'm all for it. Timothy.
I'm really torn on this one between two players who actually happen to be slap bang next to each other in the rankings. And they're Luke List and Justin Rose.
Rosie.
So Luke List, I believe... I think this is his neck of the woods. I think he's certainly from near Georgia. I think he might actually be from near Augusta, and came into a little bit of form the other week at the match play, turning over, I think it was JT turned over, wasn't it? Luke List on day one. Mm-hmm. And then I think at Augusta, Rosie's just always seems to be somehow in the mix.
Yeah, all of like the highlights.
He's never far away.
The highlight packages from like 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, Rosie features in them down the stretch.
And I think, kind of like we were saying earlier with McIlroy, I think there could be... I think Rose is kind of getting to that point of his career where it's not that you don't care what like people think of you. But I think you probably start getting a bit close to that and kind of being like, you know what, I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to try and absolutely shoot the lights out. If I cock it up, I cock it up. If not, but he always seems to play quite well at Augusta. So he's just, you know, there's just something in my mind for Justin Rose this year. So I'm going to say Rose.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. Well, that's 3 different picks for us for the first time. So Chris and I will have a different team because I went with Christian Bezuidenhout.
I considered that.
Yeah. Right. And here's the curveball, which I think all of us can agree. None of us have heard of any of the amateurs, but it will add an interesting kind of thing into the mix. someone to look out for, I think, to look down the leaderboards, find out how our amateurs are doing. Because at Augusta, they always do give them a little bit of TV time as well, which I think is good. Chris, who'd you go with on the amateur front?
I've gone with Stuart Hoggestad for the reason of he's played there before.
Oh, shit. I mean, that's more research than I did. My logic was, who's the one who sounds like they're possibly from the south? And no logic whatsoever, because anyone could be from anywhere. Yeah,
excited to hear your answer to this one. He's 30, turning 31 on Sunday.
Oh wow,
birthday.
He's not a young up and coming amateur.
I was expecting a 19-year-old. So.
No,
but he turns 31 this Sunday.
This Sunday, what a day to be like the best amateur in the world playing at Augusta.
Yeah.
What a day to have your birthday watching Tiger pick up the most incredible Masters victory. Brilliant. Tim, who'd you go with?
I also went with Stuart Hoggestad. As Chris says, he's played there before. Not only that, in his first appearance back in 2017, this is going to sound like I've done all the research. This is absolutely courtesy of CBS Golf. I'm literally reading this off their website. So I'm literally paraphrasing. But back in 2017, he finished as the lowest amateur there. And I believe his score was ahead of Oosthuizen, Fleetwood, Simpson, Bubba. So of all those amateurs,
who have you picked then?
Yeah, I mean, so I was imagining it. So I'm immediately doing a 180 on my pick. No, I will stick with it. With the guy who sounds the most Georgian or the most from the deep south, I went with Austin Greaser. Drawn to the name. Well, he was the most southern sounding. That's him for me. So.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina, Ben.
That's not far off. To be fair, that's next door.
A million miles away.
Next door.
Well, let's see how we get on. An interesting game. I saw Kyle Porter do it with his family in a adjusted format. Did this whole family thing, which sounded excellent, because I think it was six or seven of them, and they did a draft of all different things, which I thought sounded fun. Right, boys. Anything more to add with the Masters pending?
No, I'm just incredibly excited.
I'm not sure I've been more excited for a Masters before. I know.
Probably 2 years.
Since the final round, yeah. But I think because Big Cat's pretty much guaranteed set at the start, I think I'm very buzzing for this one.
The only thing I'm worried about is an average round on day one and then withdraws for injury.
Nah. I mean, I can see it. Unfortunately.
That is part of me in the back of my head is like, well, if he has a shocker on day one, is he just going to pull out? Yes.
Let's bloody hope not. Let's hope we're here next Monday, Tuesday, whenever we end up recording, and you can't get a smile off my face, because that would be delightful. As Tiger's biggest fangirl, he is really, really happy that he's won the Masters. Tim, anything more to add?
No, only just to say, actually, just as we were talking through the amateurs there, apologies if I pronounce his name wrong. I probably will. James Piot, he's put on his Twitter, it was from Christmas Day, but he actually posted the day and the invitation and the envelope that his invitation to play Augusta came in, and it's just perfect. You know, it's a dark green envelope with the Masters logo in like gold typeface, addressed little envelope inside it, and then you've just got like that classic kind of the phrase, the Board of Governors of the Augusta National Golf Club quarterly invites you to participate in the 2022 Masters Tournament to be held at Augusta, Georgia on the 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th of April, courtesy of the chairman. Please RSVP.
Can't make it, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's
busy that day.
It's classy, isn't it? Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. God, that must be so good to get that through the post. Shame we're all shit. Right, guys, thanks for joining me. Enjoy watching the golf this weekend. You're probably not going to get a peep out of me, because I'm not going to be able to take my eyes off the TV screen. We will see you all. Oh, oh. Something.
Sorry. Literally, one more thing. I know I didn't say it in any of the picks, but I'm conscious I said it a couple of weeks back. Seamus Power is my sleeper pick for this weekend. I just felt someone would come out and like crucify me if I didn't say something, seeing as I came out and gave it Bertie Big Ones literally a couple of weeks ago by saying that he was definitely the tip for to finish in the top 20. So I just wanted to come back and say that. I still think Seamus Power is probably decent-ish odds. I say decent-ish, I looked earlier, it's something like, it's not great, it's like 18 to 5 to finish in the top 20, which I feel is a bit brutal. But yeah, a potential outside. You know, I think it might happen. So there you go. Doesn't mean anything. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm
not,
love it.
To be fair, I like the shout. Power for top 20, I think it's a good shout. Right, boys, enjoy your weekend. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
See you later. See you later.
Thank you so much for listening. Me and the boys greatly appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in each week. If you did like the show, please do drop us a review. It will massively help us out to grow the pod because we've got some big things that we want to do in 2022 and beyond. Today's episode was brought to you by Sunday Red Golf, hands down the greatest golf club in the world. No joining fee, no membership fee, and no dress code. Just a lot of golf chat, competitions, tournaments, and much, much more. Come and join us at sundayredgolf.co.uk. Today was also brought to you by Tour Champ. On Tour Champ, you can create your own golf leagues so that you can answer once and for all who really is the best golfer out of you and your pals. To create your own league for free, please visit tourchamp.co.